All right, good morning, my friend. Preacher John here in Boulder, Colorado, 28th and Arapaho today. I just wanted to say hello. I just lifted my banner there. You've seen it before. This is my 2024 banner. Anyways, I'm just getting ready, my gear set up. I'm getting my camera set up to do the scripture short and the video for the day. And then we'll put all that away, and then we'll do our banner preaching here that we do out here on the street. So 28th and Arapaho today, and it's a great day. I just wanted to say hello, so hello. We'll see you in a few moments, okay? God bless you. Welcome to the channel. Welcome to Boulder. Welcome to 28th and Arapaho. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can come out to the street. We can study the Word of God at home, and we can bring the Word of God out here to the street. We can lift a banner. We can lift another banner, banner of truth. We can lift a gospel banner, preaching banner. We can do all kinds of things for you, little things, big things, medium things. But whatever it is, we want to do what you want us to do, not what we want to do. We just want to love you, Lord. We want to love you. And we want to be thankful for all the things that you have provided to us and have taught us and have showed us, and for dying for us and giving your life to us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us that eternal life. We praise you for that. In your holy name, Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen and amen. All right, so kind of a chilly, cold day, not like yesterday. It's supposed to snow tonight or tomorrow. We're looking for 1 to 3 feet of snow. How about that? That's pretty cool, huh? Spring snow. Like I said, it's like wintertime all year long. You get about 3 months of nice weather and 6 to 9 months of cold. I've got about 4 layers of clothes on right now just so I can stay warm. And I got more clothes in my pack over here. So the street behind you here is Arapaho. It's Highway 7. And here, not too long from now, I'm praying that the Lord will open another city to me. And it's down this Highway 7 headed eastbound. And we cross over 287 way out there to the town of Erie, E-R-I-E, Erie, Colorado. And I already found a place the Lord wants me, and I'm right in front of the Welcome to the City of Erie big old sign. It's a perfect location at US 287 and Arapaho Highway 7. So that's I'm prophesying that because I'm believing God will provide that to me. I've been praying for Erie for over a year, maybe I don't know, it could be 2 years I've been praying for Erie, Colorado. And I started praying for Erie, Colorado because I started meeting so many people who live in Erie. It's a kind of a professional community, I guess you'd say. A lot of big expensive homes and, you know, a lot of, you know, things like that. Because it's so expensive to live in Boulder. You can't even build a house in Boulder anymore. So they have to travel to these other cities, outlying cities. You know, it's a half hour, 45 minutes away, 40 minutes on the bus, whatever it is. And but that's where I'll be going, so that's the importance of this highway behind you. And this highway here is Highway 36, and Highway 36 goes all the way down into down to the Denver Boulder Turnpike, down into Denver, Colorado, about an hour on the bus. And then heading north on 36, it goes up to Estes Park, E-S-T-E-S, Estes Park, which is the gateway to the Rocky Mountain National Park, very, very famous. And that's the beginning to the Peak to Peak Highway that runs along the top of the Rocky Mountains there. And I'm on the Peak to Peak Highway also up in Nederland, Colorado. I'm there on the third Friday of each month. I missed last month because I was too weak to go, and I don't know if I'll be able to make it this Friday either, the third Friday of the month. But we'll see what happens. I'm not anticipating going there, but I could. All right. So hang on a second. My mat was sliding from under my feet. I stand on a rubber mat, kind of a of a exercise type of mat, and it saves my feet and my legs. I also wear very strong, sturdy boots to hold my feet solid, because I stand for probably 20 hours a day, a week on the out here on the street. And then I wear compression socks, is that what it's called? That holds your skin together, anyways, they're knee-high, I think it's called compression socks, something like that. And that really saves my life too. So, and then the safety cones I used for basically bicycles is my original use for the cones. I got a siren coming, hang on. It's really noisy. We're in the city. Oh boy. And oh man. God bless the ambulance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for first of... Since I've lived in Boulder this time around, I've been in the ambulance three times. Four times. Four ambulance rides. How about that? Four ambulance rides. That's when I shattered my leg on my skateboard and had to go to three different hospitals, two surgeries. It is a mess. I was really mad. 30 days in the hospital total. Total days in hospitals, 30 days. So I was talking about Nederland before that. I don't know what I was talking about, so sorry about that. Just letting you know where I am in town here. And that helps people kind of relate, because some people have said, I don't see a difference, or maybe they all look alike, or, you know, but I'm in different locations, and every location has a different spiritual atmosphere or climate or devils, or however you want to say that, in every location. And yesterday up at Moorhead and Table Mesa, it's a lot different up there than it is here. I can sense the difference. I can sense the driving is different, the people are different, the businesses are different, the highways are different. The region that I'm standing in has a different spiritual thing about it. And so that's why I go to different locations. And I'm in 28 different locations here in Boulder, 28 inside my city. How many locations are you in your city? And plus I'm in 16 cities, hopefully be in the 17th city. That'll be my 45th location I'm at. I'm at 44 locations. The reason I'm saying all this to you, I'm just letting you know what I'm doing, and so you can pray a little more effectively, a little more exact, and that it gives an example of what you could do with your life. Let's say you're retired. I know a lot of people who are retired, and they're doing nothing really for Jesus. They sit around. They may read their Bible, not read their Bible. They watch soap operas. They may not watch. They watch television or not watch. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just know I've been around a lot of retired people in their 70s and 80s, and all I saw people do is lay around and watch television. Now, I know many maybe not do that, but that's my experience. But I don't own a television, haven't owned a television for probably 35 years, something like that. Long time. Maybe 30 years and since I've owned a television. I don't watch television. When I go to a hotel, I drape the bath towel over the television so that thing doesn't look at me. I don't touch it. I pray over my hotels when I go to a hotel. Before I get set up, I bind any devils that may be there. I pray the blood of Jesus over my hotel room. I spiritually clean the place that I'm going to be at. Very important for you guys who travel in the ministry. Do spiritual cleaning in your house. I talked about that in class this morning. Spiritual cleaning in your home, and not just in home, but in your hotel room or your resort. How many Christians do that? I'm going to say zero, but I've talked about that off and on, but people don't take me serious. They don't take life in God serious. Really, they don't. I do. And so what that means is you can listen to me and say, okay, that guy is doing that kind of work. Why aren't I doing that? And, you know, I don't know what the answer will be, but maybe you say, you know, I want to, when I go to the next hotel room, motel room, or resort that I go to, I want to also do a spiritual cleaning before I let my family come in, maybe. I don't know. Even in a restaurant, before I really order my meal in a restaurant. I don't go to restaurants anymore, but occasionally I do. But I'm trying to save my money. All goes in the ministry. But I'll pray over the restaurant. I'll pray over where my table is. I'll pray over my waitress or waiter. I'll pray over the cook. I'll pray over the kitchen. And I begin praying for the souls in that restaurant. Do you do that? It's an idea. Maybe you should think about it. And what else can I do? Also, when I get into a car, I pray. People drive me around. When I get out of the car, before I get out, I pray. You know, I mean, why not? These are just different examples of how you can live for Christ without being a street preacher. You can just do all kinds of small things, little things. And really, if you're faithful with the little things, God will increase your life. God will increase your ministry. He really will. I mean, another thing that I've noticed I've been doing quite a bit lately is it seems like I'm more just talking wisdom to you based on the Word of God, and I'm really talking lots and lots of scriptures. They're just paraphrased in a conversational talk rather than quoting Bible verses. I'm not that type of person. God has never ordered me to do that, but I do, you know, quote the Bible, obviously. But it just seems to me that God is quickening me to share more wisdom about living for Christ, more wisdom about being a minister, more wisdom on how to live in the kingdom of God. Because it's at hand right now. The kingdom of God is right there, right now with us. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is at hand. The power of the kingdom of God is right with us. And so we can live that way. You know, like on my class, I share a lot of wisdom in my class. When I come to the street, I share a lot of wisdom before I get into the message. So I hope that makes sense. Thank you so much. Thank you for the mockery. It's amazing how the schools of Boulder are training the children to hate God and love Satan. That's what the kid, the junior high kids just did to me. There's four of them right there. They were yelling at me all kinds of profanity, how evil God is and how wonderful Satan is. Yeah, how about that, right? That's how children are nowadays. But what do? Smile, I guess. I don't know. Smile. God bless you. Have a great day. I don't return evil with evil. Somebody mocks me, somebody hates on me, somebody does anything nasty to me, I don't ever return that kind of talk to them. The Bible says to return evil with goodness, or return evil with love. Love your enemy. Those junior high kids are, generally speaking, my enemy. They're of the age of accountability. If they die and they're not saved, they'll go to hell. That's how old they are. Junior high is old enough to go to hell. Sorry about that, parents who have junior high kids that are not saved yet. Why not? If you're saved and your junior high kids aren't saved, what's that all about? Seriously, your high school kids, if you got high school kids, they're not born again. What's that about? And you're a preacher in your home, your kids aren't saved. What's that about? How long you been preaching? I mean, I'm serious, man. Live your life ministering to your family. Lead everybody to Christ. You're out there on the street, out there in churches, being a pastor, and you got children at home that aren't saved. I mean, why? I mean, really think about it, man. I mean, think about it. All my children have been born again. I have 5 children, 2 in heaven, 3 on here on earth. All my children are going to heaven, every one of them. They all serve Christ. The 2 of them are in heaven serving Christ. 3, they're here on earth. And 2 of them received Christ when they're 4 years old, because we started preaching and ministering them the moment we knew that we were pregnant. My wife and I, when she was pregnant, we started ministering to them right away, while they're in the womb. So by the time they're 4 years old, they've got so much Bible in them that they had to receive Christ, and they received Christ on their own. And now they're in their 40s and they're still in Christ today. After 40 years, they're still living for Christ. Have they had troubles? Yeah, duh. We all had troubles. But they have not turned their back on Christ. Both of them are ministers, both serving Christ. You know, One's more full-time than the other, but that's okay. And all my family is saved except for my dad. He never received Christ. He hated Christ, didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Nothing. No. Then he died. He died in that saying no to Christ. Now he's in hell, you know? Oh, well, not because I didn't do something. I preached to him every day I could. But the last time I saw him, he forbid me to even come in the house. Because he said, if you come in the house, you're going to talk to me and preach to me about Jesus. He says, I love you, Dad. That's why I'm talking to you. I love you. Can I come in? No. All right. My dad was an alcoholic. Died an alcoholic. And that's life, right? We all have a story. And so, the idea of being a minister then is to minister to the people that are right next to you. Right next to you, in your own household. If you have servants or maids or butlers or whatever, minister to them. If you have nobody living in your house and you have friends that come over, minister to your friends. If you have a neighbor, minister to the neighbor. I minister to all my neighbors. All my neighbors know what I do. There's not one neighbor who does not know what I do. Pretty sure. I think I've talked to every one of them, one time or the other. See, that's another thing. Do the neighbors across the street, down the road, over, around, you know, do all your neighbors know about what you do? Do they know Christ? Do they know the way of salvation? If you say, no, they don't, I've never gone to my neighbors, or I've lived here for 20 years or 10 years or 5 years or whatever, or I just moved to a new neighborhood. Well, then if you move to a new, that's really wonderful. Actually, that's the best way to do it. New neighborhood, bake some chocolate chip cookies, put a gospel track under the plate, and go over to neighbors and say, I just wanted to say hello. Instead of them saying hello to you, you say hello first. I'm a minister for Jesus Christ. You can say something, whatever you like. I mean, why not? You know, I was in the grocery store. I was in two stores. I'm dressed like this, saying hello to everybody. Was I preaching? No, my shirt, my hat, my clothes made up my message. I was preaching to everybody in the stores. But I was kind of like a silent preacher. But I had a big smile on my face, and I was talking to everybody who was there. I'd say, good morning, how you doing? Yeah, God bless you, man. I waved to the butcher. The butcher was looking at me. He's reading the back of my shirt, and he was looking at me. And I caught out of the corner of my eye somebody looking at my back, and I turned around. There was a meat butcher looking at me off in the kind of the corner, just staring at me. And I lifted my hand and waved and smiled, good morning. And he waved and said, good morning back. You know, I don't know, why not? Is that what you do? Or do you just silently slip into the store? I'm always talking this way because I don't see Christians doing anything for Christ when I'm with another believer. Now, the ones who hang out with me, they do this. But most of the Christians who hang around me, they don't do a thing that I'm saying right now. I go into a restaurant, I'll pass out 5, 6, 7, 8 tracks. I walk out the store, how many tracks you place? Tracks. Oh, I forgot them in the car. I got 8 tracks in there. 8 tracks, I didn't see you place one of them. Yeah, because you're not, anyways. See, ministry is not on the mind of ministers. Every believer is a minister, but they're not thinking that way. That's why I'm talking to you as a minister. A minister ministers. A minister means servant. You're here to serve mankind. What are you serving them? You're serving them the bread of life. That's what you're a servant. You're a waiter, a waitress, I guess you could say. And you serve them the bread of life. If they want to eat, partake of the bread, fine. If they don't, fine. No big deal. It's a big deal to them, but it's not a big deal to you. You did your job. You did what you're supposed to do. Give them the bread of life. If they don't want to eat of it, oh well, maybe somebody else will come along and give them another slice of bread. Bread of life. A slice of the bread of life. And maybe they'll reject that one. Maybe 10 people have to come. But all of us as ministers, once we do something like that, we begin to pray to God for their soul. Because we had an interaction, a connection with the person. And so even today, I still pray for the souls that went by my banner 5 years ago, back in 2019. I'm still praying for their souls. I have two prayer books with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of names in them and descriptions of who people are. I'm still lift that up every single day. I did this morning. You see, these are actions of a minister. Now, did I do this when I was working 100 hours a week as a truck driver? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Because people are saying, oh, you're retired now, John. You have time to do that. Oh, forget that, dude. That's a poor excuse. Because I'm a 100-hour-a-week guy, 80 to 100 hours a week, every week, week after week, until I pass out. And then I take a couple weeks off, a week off. But that's truck driving for you, long-haul trucking. You know, 70 hours is a short week for me. 70 hours, short week. I work 70 hours a week now. I've been struggling the last month or so because of the class and because of fasting. But typically, I run 70 hours a week. How about that? In the ministry. I don't have a job. This is my job. This is my work now. But I used to do 100 hours, 80 to 100 hours a week, 90 hours in the truck. 100 hours always during harvest season. I'm a produce hauler, apple hauler, cherry hauler, produce hauler. So during harvest, we would run big hours. So that also should quicken you to think about your hours you put in the kingdom of God. Think about your time. What are you doing with the time that you have? Seriously, think about it. So these are all lots and lots and dozens of ideas that I've been sharing with you verbatim. I mean, just kind of like a shotgun, just hammering away different ideas for you to be as a minister. You know, we're all ministers. We're all ministers. So, and I apologize for yelling, but it's just so noisy. I don't have my earplugs in yet. I'll put my earplugs in once I'm done with this video. But I can't hear myself talk, so I have to talk loud to hear myself, because my voice just kind of disappears and I can't hear myself. So I apologize once again. But I'm on the street. It's very, very busy here, very noisy. My hands are cold too. I got some gloves. All right. So I hope that made sense. I just, if it's all about me preaching and that's all right, I guess. But I'm leaving. I'm 70 years old, I'm 71 in a few more months, and I'm clicking along, but there's going to be a day that my life is going to end, and I'm in that last season, that 3 score and 10. You know, I got a couple of believers praying for 4 score and 10. I said, I agree with that. I'll take the 4 score and 10. That's 90 years, 20 years per score. But in health, in vitality, and vigor, that kind of life. But man, I'm excited. I am so excited. I just love what I do for the Lord. And I say that because I want you to love your ministry also. You have to look around your ministry and find the things that you like. Now, I don't like everything. Like, I don't like being cold right now. My body is warm, but my hands are cold, my ears are cold, and my gloves are way over there in my pack, and I'm not going to walk over there. That's why I cut my hands in my coat pocket here. But I love being out in the open. I love being outside. I'm an outdoor type person. I'm a backpacker, hiker, skier, snowshoe, mountaineering skis. You know, I do all kinds of, you know, rock climbing. I don't do a lot of rock climbing, but a little bit. And you know, I do a lot of things outside. I ride my bicycle, skateboard. I love outside. I love the outdoors. And so that's what I like being out here, the outdoors. And I really, believe it or not, I really love people. I love the interaction with people. I love bantering back and forth, not debating, but just, you know, shooting the breeze back and forth and just, you know, just talking to people and being out in front of people. I enjoy that. And even though I'm kind of a recluse type person, but I know I like that. And so I look at that and I just look at things that, and like these videos here, I don't really like doing the video. Like right now, I'm not enjoying this. This is really hard for me, but I like when I go home and I put the video together to upload. When I edit it and put it together, I enjoy that creativity when I get home. I worked 5 hours after I got off the street at 3 o'clock and got home about 3:30, 3:45. I still had 5 hours of work. I wasn't done till 8:45 last night. Yeah, 8:45 8:45 last night, I finished my work. See, so yesterday, 10-hour, 11-hour day yesterday. I'm up at 5 in the morning. I don't get to bed till 10 at night. Yeah, how about that? I got about 1 hour to myself. Between 9 and 10, I got about 1 hour that I can just do whatever I want to do. That's about it. That's about it, actually. And I've got about 4 hours on Saturday morning I can do whatever I want also. Saturday morning I can do everything I want, anything I want between 8 and about 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I can do whatever I want, relax, rest, read, whatever. And because I'm in the Lord on my Sabbath day, I rest. And then about an hour between 9 and 10. That's it. The rest of my time is in the ministry serving God. Now you see, that's another example to look at your life. I'm looking at all my time slots in my life and seeing how I can put more ministry in there on a balanced scale. You know, not overdoing it, but just gradually going into it. But when you do that, though, you have to do it with the Spirit of God. Because if you do it on your own, you're going to burn yourself out and you're going to quit the ministry. I know a lot about that. I quit several times. But I burned myself out, run myself into the ground, and I quit. I think one time I quit for like 2 or 3 years. I was so burned out. I mean, I just poured myself out for years and years and years and years and years. And I just drove myself into the ground. But I don't do that anymore. I know when I need to rest. I know what it feels like when I need to rest. And that's why I've been resting so much. It's also why on my video today, or my calendar, I don't know if I can make it till 3. You know, so question mark. Can I make it till 3? I don't know. I'm going to see if I can. Let's see what happens. You know? Because I left the house at 10 o'clock this morning. And I'll be out here till 3 if I can. And so these are all things to keep you in the ministry, especially as you get older in the ministry or you've been serving for 20 or 30 years. You can kind of really burn yourself out. A lot of street ministers are no longer ministering because they're tired and worn out and beat up. And so, you know, you can rest. Yeah, go ahead, rest for a while and rest for 2 or 3 years if you have to. That's okay. I mean, but don't rest for the rest of your life. Because I've met probably a half a dozen ministers who, yeah, I used to do what you're doing. And I said, well, come on, preach. No, I did that back in the 70s or the 80s. And one guy, it was like the end of the 60s. I mean, this old guy. But they don't do it anymore. I used to do it all the time. But they don't do it anymore because they burned out. You don't want to burn out. You know, if I'm going to do this till I'm 90, do I want to burn out? That's 30 years. Of preaching on the street in the cold. You see what I'm saying? So these are all attributes of ministers, all right? And in fact, I am not going to preach on the message I was going to preach on. The Holy Spirit just quickened me to end the message with going over to Proverbs chapter 12. This is what I did the scripture short on. The Lord told me to go to Proverbs chapter 12 and to use verses 17 and a little bit of 18. So let's go to 17 here. This is in Proverbs chapter 12 in the King James Bible, always in the King James. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. So let's look at these two verses here. Verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. So what I've been doing through this whole sermon or this whole talk or whatever I'm doing here is sharing with you righteousness. Righteousness. I'm speaking truth into your spirit. And that truth is righteousness, a right standing with the word of truth, the word of God, Jesus Christ. And that's what you want. And so you want to speak that righteousness, that truth into people's lives. What you sow, you'll reap. So if you're praying that, you're living that, you'll have a lot of truth in you and you'll be able to give that truth away, knowing that the Holy Ghost will fill your life up more with truth and your cup will overflow into all the other people around your life. Think about that. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. So as I'm speaking, I'm actually showing you, demonstrating to you the power of God by being on the street, by ministering to you via camera, via this medium here. But not just you, but all the people who, because I'm brightly dressed. My banner's all rolled out, unfurled out, so you can see that. My cones are out. So people know that I'm standing here. I've had many people already look. Nobody's waved, nobody's honked that I know of. I haven't really paid attention. But I'm showing forth truth. That's what I'm doing, truth. For righteousness. But a false witness, deceit. See, so deceit is like a lie. So you can preach or teach or demonstrate or proclaim a lie, and that's not going to be righteousness. And that's what happens when you preach out of a corrupt Bible. You know, if you're preaching out of a verse that's been changed, and you preach that word, then that word becomes a deceitfulness. Like the verse that we talked about in class here a few days ago, when they took out the word, Jesus says, I'm not going to go up to the feast yet. And later he went. And they took the word yet out, and their Bible says, Jesus says, I'm not going to the feast. A little while later, he went up there. It makes him a liar. That he told a lie. I'm not going there. Sorry. You guys have a good time. And then later on, he went. Now, you can rationalize that and say, well, you know, maybe this and maybe that. You know, you don't want to massage a lie. Thinking that if I massage this lie and kind of shape it and reformat it and kind of reframework it, then that lie doesn't look so bad and maybe it is the truth, I just don't know or not. You see how there's so much doubt in that type of talk? As a man and woman of wisdom, you don't want to have doubt in your life because that doubt will come across in the words. You don't hear doubt coming across my lips. I have no doubt as I'm speaking now. I'm speaking faith, the word of faith, into your life. The word of faith in your life. Because faith comes by hearing the word. The word of faith, the word of God. And I'm preaching the word of God. I'm talking scripture. Now, your brain might not recognize a certain verses. But those verses doesn't mean that they're not scripture. Because my conversation here is of the word of God. Amen? And that's why you have to put the word of God in you. I go through the word of God every day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. I'm not aware of any day that goes by that I don't feed on the Word of God. Not one day. Not one day. That's why I'm full of the Word of God. I'm full of truth. I show forth righteousness by the words that I speak of truth. You see that? But if I was like this here, it says there, but a false witness, deceit. Now when somebody comes up to me and says, no, you're a false teacher, well, what's really happening, they're calling themselves a false teacher because I'm speaking the truth and I can line up every single thing I'm saying in the Word of God, unless I misspeak. Please understand that I'm not talking from notes. I got really busy. A lot of things are going on. I'm cold. I'm shivering. My hands are cold and the wind is blowing in my face and it's noisy. And so, I'm talking fast. I got a lot of things to say in a short period of time and I misspeak. I apologize for that. But just take the whole thing in context. That's normal to misspeak when you don't talk from notes or a prompter of some sort. You can misspeak. Say something you didn't mean to say or, transpose a couple words. Okay? Plus, they got to keep an eye on things. I mean, be careful, right? So let's go to the next verse. There is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Now, you'd think, well, aren't they talking about the Word of God? No, because of the next part of the verse, you want to look at the context of what's there. So this piercing like a sword is like that power that you have in your tongue, the words that you speak, are piercing the person. And that piercing like a sword. The sword is like a word, because sword has word in it. S-W-O-R-D, sword, word, sword, word. So a sword is a word. All right? And if it's a deceitful word, it pierces. Now what happens when it pierces the flesh it actually gets close to the spirit, and you plant that seed of deception, deceitfulness in their deep in their flesh, because you're using such a sharp word. So be a very alert to the words that you use and your mannerisms. You know, don't look like you're mad. I mean, you know, just, you know, anyways, that's no story. False words. There is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But look, but the tongue of the wise, the tongue of the wise is health. So there's a word that you can use that brings sickness. There's a word that you can use to bring health. So that's what I'm speaking. I'm speaking words of truth. That truth brings health to your flesh, not just to your spirit alone, but also your flesh. So you want to speak words of truth. Words of truth. And that's what I've been speaking. This whole talk right here are all words of truth, which have a lot of wisdom, that have a lot of righteousness within it. So that's a good seed that I'm sowing into your life, if you want it. If you don't want it, well, oh well, there's nothing I can do about that. But I'm delivering the seed. I'm casting my bread upon the water. And after many days, it'll come back, if that's what the King James says. Still NIV in me. Amen? All right, so let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can pray, we can preach, we can minister, we can lift a banner, we can put warmer gloves on, and we can even put a hat on. That's what I'm going to do, Lord. My head's cold. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our life. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for the message. We lap everything up as a gift, as an offering, as a sacrifice to you. We give it to you, Father, in your name, Jesus. We humbly pray. We humbly pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. So God bless you, man. I love you very much. Take care, all right? God bless you. I love you. I mean, I really do, all right? Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.